I don't know how many of you read the church bulletin that's sent out on Saturdays, at least normally set out on Saturdays. Last week it came a day late. I had put for my boomerang to send it out on Saturday, March 3rd. Well, March 3rd was Sunday. And so it chose to choose the March 3rd rather than Saturday. And I'm sure I confused boomerang. And so that was my fault for giving the wrong date. But if you read the bulletin, you'll note that the title of this message today is Faith and Obedience. And then there's a question. Casual acquaintances or best friends? Which is it? Faith and obedience. Are they casual acquaintances or are they best friends? Now that title is not original with me. I was reading the Frontline magazine this week and I was looking at the center section and read an article by Alan Patterson, Dr. Alan Patterson. And he had that title and it was such a good title, I thought, I'm going to use that. And so I want to give due diligence here to let you know that what I am going to be talking about today, I got from his article. It was such a good article. And if you get the Frontline magazine, I trust that you'll take the time, even after I say this and preach on this, to go back and read that article. It is a tremendous article. And so my preaching may not do it justice. Let me just say that. But I want us to turn to John chapter 3 and verse 36, where both of these are mentioned, both faith and obedience. However, obedience is actually disobedience in this verse, John 3, 36. Of course, you're very familiar with the chapter because of verse 16, where we read that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So the context here is John the Baptist is later speaking in verses 22 to 36, and then he says this in verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now in this translation, our King James translation, you see the word believeth twice. In the original, it's in there once. But the translators translate a different word, believeth, the same as they did the first word. So look at the word believeth both times. The first time you see the word believeth, that's what we would normally translate believeth. So is the second one, but the second one is actually a different word in the original. And this is something that I think is going to be very helpful once we understand what we're looking at here. The second time the word believeth is there in verse 36, it has the word not after it. Believeth not. And the word there for believeth not is actually a word that means to persuade, to cause belief. That's why the King James translator translated it belief. It's a word that means to cause belief, to induce somebody by persuading. And so it runs into the meaning of to obey properly as the result of persuasion. That comes from Vincent's word studies. I know there's a lot there, but you've got belief and then you've got persuasion that leads to obeying. So let me read it that way. John 3, 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that obeys not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Thus the title, faith and obedience. Casual acquaintances or best friends? Hearing that verse read in that way, what would you say? Faith and obedience, casual acquaintances or best friends? What would you say? You would say best friends, and that's exactly right. When you talk about somebody who is obeying, somebody obeys because they're convinced or they are persuaded. Somebody who is actually convinced and persuaded of something will obey if you're truly convinced or persuaded. I once told Benjamin, that I was jealous of him for being able to jump out of airplanes. So the next Father's Day gift was, Dad, I'm taking you skydiving. It's like, oh no. So that day we ended up down, they have something west and south of Longmont, somewhere down there. And I'm like, oh boy, what did I get myself into? And they're instructing us, they're putting the parachutes on us. And, you know, the guy's saying, okay, we're going to be strapped to each other. And so he's strapped to my back. He's supposed to take the brunt of the fall, which never happened when we landed, because I'm taller than he. But the point is, when we got up to, I think it was 14,000 feet, 12,000 feet, it was time to jump. And you have that little, okay, do I really want to do this? But I had been persuaded, I had been convinced that the chute would open. And that if it didn't, there was the reserve. And so being fully persuaded, when they said, jump, did I obey or disobey? Well, you know the rest of the story. Oh, I obeyed. I was convinced. And indeed, the chute opened, I'm glad to say. I'm here today. But obedience is due to being convinced of something. Somebody who does not believe does not obey. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Let's look at an illustration of that very thing. Someone who does not believe does not obey. And of course, we know Hebrews chapter 11 to be called the what chapter? The faith chapter. Let's note this illustration of what I'm saying by what is written in Hebrews 11 and verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. That the word faith is belief. So by believing, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that, and here's the same word used in John 3:36. Notice, she did not perish with them that obeyed not when she had received the spies with peace. So her fellow citizens were not convinced. They did not obey, and they perished. And so, as does John in 3:36, as the writer, John, records there, the writer of Hebrews also connects the two words, believe and obey, by using the same two words. Now go back to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to see another instance of this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. By the way, you can check me out on this. All you have to do is go to your Strong's Concordance, look up the words that are used here, and look in the back, look at the number, see what numbers they are, and it'll tell you the Greek words, and you're going to find out they're two different words. So if you want to check me up on that, please do so. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. And here, the translators translate it differently. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it's translated obey, negative. As the translators could have translated it in John 3:36 and Hebrews 11:31. But now notice verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 1. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that, and there's the word believe. Once again, these two words, faith or believing and obedience, are used in the same context. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. I think it's good to have verses for you to turn to, because you think you lost an hour of sleep last night, and you think you're sleepy, and this should hopefully keep you awake. My wife keeps telling me, it's in your head. Because if you went to bed like you were supposed to at the time, knowing that you're going to put your clocks ahead, you still got your 8 hours of sleep. How many of you got 8 hours of sleep last night? Too bad. You should have set your clocks ahead. 1 Peter 4:17. Notice how this is translated here. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? There it's translated, obey. One last passage I want you to go to. You're there in 1 Peter, back up again to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, where those two words are again connected but used, translated differently. Hebrews 3, 18 and 19. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, literally, obeyed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And that's the word for belief. Disbelief and disobeying. So, I'm going to quote Patterson here from his article. Were they of Hebrews 3, 18 and 19 excluded from entering God's rest of salvation because of disobedience or unbelief? The answer, yes. In God's mind, those two issues go together. True faith manifests itself in obedience. So very closely are faith and obedience connected. And now he's quoting Hendrickson in his commentary. So very closely are faith and obedience connected that they may be compared to inseparable identical twins. A person cannot have genuine faith without having obedience, nor vice versa. I've got an illustration to use here. Some years ago, when Benjamin was engaged to Jamie Duvier, she sat, I don't know, I think they're in the second row, maybe where my wife is sitting. It was Jamie and Sandra, identical twins. And I'm looking at both of them as I'm introducing them, and I'm having panic in the pulpit because it's like, which one is going to be my daughter-in-law? I have no idea. And I got the name. I don't know if you remember this, but I got the names messed up. I messed up big time because I could not distinguish the two. Folks, that's faith and obedience. They are two separate people. They are two separate things. And yet they're so closely related that they look almost identical. And that's why the King James translators translated it in John 3:36 and Hebrews 11:31 as belief and belief. They're so close. And yet one has that distinguishing mark of there is persuasion and obedience with it. And that's what faith, true belief ends up in, is obedience. You obey. Because you are truly convinced that's what faith is. I can now discern the two when they're together. I can go up and hug the right one. And yet, if you were to ask me right now what's the distinguishing features, I can't tell you. My wife, I think, probably can, but I can't. That's how closely related faith and obedience are. Patterson says this, a final reason for the importance of noting John's choice of the word do not obey, John 3:36, is the ever-present danger of easy believism. Some people are excited about following Jesus at first and even believe much of what they hear about him. But as John points out just a few chapters later, many of those who appear to be disciples, John 6:66, in reality, do not believe, John 6:64. Their refusal to continue following Christ shows that they were not genuinely believing in him. They were not interested in a faith that obeys. James teaches the same truth when he stresses that those with true faith are doers of the word and not hearers only, James 1:22. So, folks, faith and obedience, casual acquaintances, or best friends. I would go beyond that and say, they're identical twins. They're identical twins. A saving faith is an obedient faith. Mike and Ruth Green wrote a song entitled Obedience. And what does that song say? Obedience is The very best way to show that you, there you go. It's right there. Obedience is the very best way to show that